Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
God is good.
All the time.
And never forget, you don't know what to do now. So we change things around sometimes. So we say, God, oh, let's just do it. So God is good.
All the time.
God
is good.
And I remember taking, this was in Seymour when I was teaching there, and so I'm curious if Amy or Carrie would remember that I had a $100 bill with me. Do either of you remember that? Okay, good. So I took a $100 bill, and I'd like to see a $100 bill. This was back when a $100 bill was a lot of money. who would like it? There were a lot of willing volunteers to take that off of my hand. But I said, this isn't a very nice $100 bill, and it was brand new at the time, but I began to crumple it up or fold it or squish it or smash it or do some of these things. I stepped on it, hit it, did these things, and finally it was so messed up I threw it in the trash. It's no good anymore. It's all messed up. And then everybody was willing to take the trash. So the deal with that is, and this is what I do it now in Bay Tree, where I teach, is we have this little song and dance where we will say, God is good, and all the time, and I will ask, say that, and never forget, and they respond, we are special. Our value does not change because of what we have gone through, or what has affected us, or what has negatively affected us. That has been an inspiration to me, so let's try it again. God is good.
All the time.
And never forget.
We are special.
You know what? Do you know that it's easier to teach that to your students than it is to believe it yourself, about yourself? My reflection. Maybe you're different. Okay, teaching that inspires. I was thinking when Brother Howard was speaking up there that we need to get a little bit of a talk sometime on what is it that teachers who have taught for longer periods struggle with. How do you keep that flame, that vibrancy going? Okay, so let me just break it down. Has anybody taught more than 15 years in here? Raise your hand. Okay, 10. Okay, 10 or more. You've taught more than 10, haven't you, Charity?
Almost,
all right. Okay, so I'm feeling older than what I thought I would at the moment. You can struggle with the fact that you're getting kind of worn out. You're sort of kind of this record that keeps going. You keep trying these different things and whatever else, and one of the tires is flat. Let's put it that way. We kind of still make a little progress, you know. So I kind of laughed when Jonathan said, we'd like you to teach this class, teaching that inspires. Like, did you ask my students what they would think about something like that? Like, why him? Anyways, the fact is as we get and we start, we come to a class like this, or not just this class, but this conference and so on, I find myself inspired, and I find myself excited about teaching and about working with other teachers and talking to other teachers and so on. So let's keep going here. Inspiration. All of us have been inspired. Now you know what the problem is with a question, right? A question is either too easy to answer or it's too hard. This is the easy one. Have you been inspired? Yes, we have all been inspired one time or another. Let's take it apart a little bit now. I want to say this right away though. I'm going to really ask for some of your input on this. What has inspired you, right? So I would love it if you'd be willing to share some of that. This is going to be a little bit of an interactive, a little bit more of an interactive class, I hope, although my weakness is talking too much. Inspiration. What does inspiration mean? You want to give me some examples or ideas? I won't bother writing them too badly, too much, because my handwriting is atrocious for one thing, but... go ahead. What's inspiration?
Something that keeps you going.
Good. Something that keeps you going. The behind the thought of that is that going takes work and it's easier to stop. So something that keeps that thing moving. All right? Some others. Rapidly, children. Here.
Energy.
Energy. Energy goes hand in hand with inspiration. Very good.
An idea.
Inspiration is an idea. Okay, an unattainable one sometimes. Maybe we could say that inspiration is primarily mental. We're not really, when we're talking about inspiration here, I'm not actually going to be giving you dietary advice. It's not that that's not applicable. Actually, diet is a big part of energy and strength and power and all of that, but I'm actually not discussing that. I'm talking about something mental, right?
Enthusiasm.
Good.
Inspiration is power.
Power. That kind of goes with the energy thing.
Fear.
It's bias. Ooh, okay, so I'm going to say, anybody who has gotten jolted awake, some of you will remember my brother Brian, who was here a couple of years ago, or maybe two. He had this great mental image one time where they were living in this little house or whatever, and he's in this kind of the sound sleep, and his wife grabs him by the arm and says, "Honey, what was that?" He said, "You levitate up out of the bed, you spin three times around and hit the ground." You are inspired. Okay, so gets kind of the heart rate going and all of that. Fear can be a tremendous form of inspiration. Okay, inspiration is actually very simple to define, clinically speaking. Of course, the in means to go into, to bring in. And now that spiration, I'm guessing that some of you can tell me right away what that means. It's related to the word spirit, so breath. It would be from the Latin word for air, what you breathe, what you come in. So, when you're out of breath, you don't have it. That's when you're uninspired. You are stopping. I work with a professional musician some of the time with my students and with some others up in the Dawson Creek area there. And she's got this great illustration of ways of communicating as far as how to sing and to make music, more or less. And it was interesting for me to listen to her. She has this beautiful voice of her own, and then she illustrates how it all depends on breath. And so she doesn't just talk about air when she mentions it. She says, "Beautiful air." That air is so beautiful, and you just feel it flow and inspire you. All right? So that's more or less what inspiration means, somewhat technically, but we get the idea. We have been inspired, and there have been times when we haven't been inspired, and so we can relate with that. Now, what I want to do, though, is I want to take this into just a little bit of more of a broken down situation, and I want to talk about short-term inspiration and long-term inspiration. You got it. Okay. What would you guess is the difference between those two? Okay. Mostly what we have already discussed when I asked you what does inspiration mean would come under which heading?
Short term.
That's what we think about almost immediately when we think about inspiration. And that comes a little bit with that breath concept. When you run out of breath, you're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about a year's worth of things that have gone into. You're thinking about right now. Right? And as you become inspired, as that breath comes in, again, you're living in the moment. So that's good. Okay? Another word that we think about short-term inspiration can be something like passion, excitement. These are things that can't last forever, right? There are a few people that live more or less in manic mode the whole time. It's not typically a healthy thing, right? So as much as we like the idea of being inspired, in a short-term way, it's practically impossible to live on that mountain peak, right? And just run in circles around it or something like that. And when people do, it can actually end up damaging them and others quite much. And at the same time, we love it. We love to be inspired. That's part of the definition of the word. This is not something we want to avoid. It's something we like. Short-term inspiration. Let's try to decide if I want you to step in right now or not. Sure, let me ask you a few things. What are some things or some people or some incidences and events in your life that have inspired you? If it goes into the long term, that's fine, but I'm thinking especially short term.
WFTI.
All right, WFTI. So it's an inspirational time as you come together and you listen to Brother Howard's presentation there a little bit. I mean, you can come away feeling a little bit like beating yourself over the head with some of this stuff too, but still, you kind of get the idea of we want to move forward with this. All right, can you give me some examples in your life when you were inspired?
Revival meetings.
Okay, thank you. Best with ice cream. Oh my. Yes.
When you fall in love. Yeah. Lots of inspiration.
That's a great.
Think about yourself.
I had a great example of that one time when someone was saying, like, you know, talking about don't go by feelings, or you have to really kind of be logical and think this through or whatever. And he told me bitterly, "What else do you go by than what you feel? I mean, what more is there?" Or something like that. So yeah, it's an inspirational thing. Okay. Let's talk about long-term inspiration. What do you think we could mean by long-term inspiration?
Vision.
Long-term vision. Okay, so when we're talking about going from A to B, we're not talking about getting through today or even tomorrow or the next week, but something pretty big, something that's going to take some time and some energy, some effort. Time may be the word that I'm looking for, especially there.
And long-term inspiration that may not always be up, like where you're actually progressing up towards your goal. There may be some dips in the way, but you still have that.
There may be.
There will be.
There will be. Just face it. There will be. That's part of it. And so long-term can really be that thing that's really we can grab short terms as we go. We can rejoice in the moment. We can be glad for the cup of coffee in the morning. And it's actually great to teach yourself to be thankful for little things, because we have so many of them. All right? We're filled with them. And then there are difficult things and hard things. And in my life, it seems like they're getting worse, not better. So I am becoming even more and more acutely aware of that be thankful for all this positive stuff, and then look at that long picture, that big thing out there, all right? I'll give an example of someone, because I don't mind if you would actually pick people out of your life. Well, let me just ask you, I will ask you, who are some people that have inspired you? I'll give you an example of one. When we first went to Romania in 2001, and it's really shocking to me right now, but I'm teaching high school students who don't remember 9/11, you know, that type of thing. So how did that happen? But so this is pre 9/11. We went there, and I was mentored by Delbert Petersheim. Now at least two of his children are here, and I was trying to think if they're here, but I don't see them. Delbert is someone I had known for years. From my childhood, and all that. You get to this foreign land, and they talk a different language, even if you've tried to learn it, and all of that. And it's very confusing, and the driving is different, and the roads are different, and the cities are different, and things are laid out. And you have all these different responsibilities that you're supposed to be laid out ahead of you. That mentoring process that he took me through over those 3 weeks that we were together. And then later, a willingness to talk about things, to positively engage in the last number of years, our lives have separated a little bit more than they were before. But as we come together, there's always this kind of mutual respect and appreciation and a willingness to engage and listen to each other as we come. And that has been very, very inspiring for me over a long term. So that when I think about that relationship, I think positively. I think it's actually a source of inspiration to me. So that's an example that I have. Can you give me an example of someone who has inspired you? Either, again, it could be short term, but I'm thinking especially long term now. Inspired bunch.
My school teachers and the memory of the fun in the classroom that we had was a long-term inspiration.
Yes, and you teach now, or are you a board member, or
do you teach?
And that goes with you now too, right? As you bring that into your classroom, you remember your classroom experiences when you were at the other end. That's certainly true for me. Definitely. Okay. Anybody else want to share?
Just after my grandfather died about 27 years ago, later on in life, I found his Bible. Actually, I got this Bible in the U.S. with me after 27 years crossing the ocean again. So, and I found the notes on his Bible. Very important notes. Moments that were taken over there at 3 or 4 in the morning when he was praying about something and God answered to him, and he wrote down there a passage. And one of the most important revelations he had was before 89 in Romania, when they already had problems with the revolution, the so-called revolution. He was struggling. He woke up at 5 in the morning, and God gave him a passage that revealed to him what would happen in a matter of a week in Romania. And it happened. So when I got his Bible, I was inspired, and I am still inspired after 27 years by him. And whenever I open that Bible, I remember that I have to follow his example.
And some of those things, as you journal, do any of you journal when you read the Bible? It's a good practice to cultivate. Write things down, and so on like that. And you know, and there you're talking about something that took place within a week, but sometimes it's a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are long times between the seeking and the finding and the knocking and the opening, and it gives us strength to keep moving, one day at a time. Even when we're in that middle part. Okay. We should be aware of the fact that passion, that inspiration, does have a dark side. People can be inspired to do what's wrong. Now, our goal here is to inspire to do what's right. And there are some things that really, long-term, they need that short-term inspiration along with it. One of them, for example, Brother Howard was talking about school culture, and he gave that horrible story about those older students that weren't singing. You know, I shouldn't say it's horrible. Maybe in that culture it was the right thing or whatever and all of that, but I would tend to want to buck that. I would want to push that, but it doesn't happen instantly. In our own school in Seymour, there had gotten to the place where, at one time, where the older grades just hardly could sing. And there was especially one program that I remember that there was this kind of whisper that kind of came out of the front. And people talked about it. They said, you know, our children, they sang when they were in school and when they were at this other place and so on. And they come here and then they just quit singing. And why? That's a cultural aspect that changed over time. So cultures can change, and they can change for the better. But specifically with singing, it's not going to change without inspiration. Okay? The guy at the front or the lady at the front or whatever is going to have to whip it up some way or another. But it's also not going to change without some long-term drudgery kind of in there where you just do it. The teacher does it even when they don't feel like it. And eventually, they get the students to where they will sing whether they feel like it or not. Why do they do that? Because it's what we do. This is just what happens. You open the book and you start singing. It's normal. It's a good normal. But it takes inspiration to get there. Now I want to talk a little bit about long-term inspiration. I'll get you going here just a little bit. What are some characteristics? What I'm thinking about is specifically the inspiration of character. What are character traits that we should be developing that will help inspire our students? Let me change just a minute here. I'm going to break something into this. We're talking about teaching that inspires. Before we can inspire, really, before we can give that inspiration, we need to receive inspiration. We're discussing a book in our youth Sunday school class right now, and this guy gave an example of this pastor or teacher or someone who had been working at this whatever ministry he was doing for a long time, and he was helping lots of people, and he just felt, he asked this question: what do you do when the well runs dry? Now, so I just ask you, has your well ever felt dry? Surely it has, right? Surely. Because mine has. His friend said, well, I guess you just have to dig a little deeper. Exactly what he wanted to hear, yeah. Dig it a little bit deeper. That was an inspiration to me at the moment that I read it, because I felt like my well was running a little bit dry, all right? So where do we get inspiration from? I already gave a little bit of an example, but you tell me now, what are some places that we can get in order that we can give? I thought you were going to say something.
The Bible.
Okay, the Bible. When you hear God speaking in oral, speak aloud. I don't know if I'd ever thought of it quite that way. Read the Bible out loud. Okay, that's good. Speaking honestly here, the Bible gets dry sometimes. I remember one book I read to all my students is the book Grushko, about this boy who goes to these Aboriginal people in Venezuela. So many of you might be familiar with it. One of the stories in there that I often remember is how he went prepared. He's going back again. He's going to visit with them. And he knew he had to go slowly, so he had three books along with him, including his Bible, and he's going to sit there in this jungle until they made contact with him. So he was ready for it. But boredom got really bad down there, just doing the same things over and over again. And this is the comment he made about his Bible. He said, I read the same passages over again, and I thought the same thoughts after them. Most of us can relate with that in one way or another, and if we can't relate with it now, we probably will sometime. So brace yourself for it. What do we do? How do we get inspiration from the Bible when we're feeling dry? This is an honest question, and we are going to face it. Yes?
It's exactly the same as you said it earlier. It's taking in the Spirit of God. So instead of breathing by yourself, you let Himself to breathe through you. But that is just supernatural and comes straight from the Spirit of God. It's directly conditioned by your, you know, availability to be humble and to be ready to do anything He has to.
So, some of those things, again, will take some time. God knows that better than we do yet. And one thing I would like to suggest is that it's true. The Bible in and of itself is a very unique and amazing book, but the real connection is through the living Spirit of God. Otherwise, it can be a letter, all right? And we should not fool ourselves into thinking that if it is dry, then that's all it is. We do not nearly think about all the times that we are inspired, which is when we breathe. Right? Why? Because we take air for granted. We take air for granted until it's no longer available. All right? Then we do not. So, we are being inspired, but we don't always feel it. So there is such a thing as being inspired even when we're dry, but we're not even aware of it to an extent, if you understand kind of what I'm sort of rambling on about that. Something else. How can we get inspired?
Someone else's perspective.
Talk to a friend. Get some healthy advice and get a different perspective. Very good. Someone has started.
That's what I was going to say. Hang out with someone that is inspired.
There you go. So, yes, yeah, it actually does help if your friend isn't feeling quite as melancholy as you at the moment. There can be even a little bit of juicy inspiration from seeing how low you can spiral together for a long time. We actually, I have a friend that we almost inspire ourselves that way with trying to act melancholy. Okay.
Sing.
Yes. Sometimes, again, when we're feeling dry, singing we don't feel like it, for one thing. And sometimes when we don't feel like it, it just wasn't there. And the human psyche is very intricate. It doesn't just follow the switches sometimes. But trying does help. And so working with it, listening to some good music, I can hardly listen to some aspects of or some songs from Handel's Messiah without getting inspired, let's put it that way. So different forms of music, of singing with other people, those can help lift us up. The other one that I mentioned was, again, learn, make a habit of intentionally giving thanks. Give thanks intentionally and clearly. Write them down. Do whatever you need to get this cycle kind of spinning to help get inspiration. And there's another really obvious one that we're missing. Realize the fact that these people, and we're talking about inspiration in the classroom here, so realize the fact that you love these students. You love them. You would hate it if something terrible happened to them. And the love and the feelings, again, they get a little bit divorced from each other every now and then. And they get dry, they get irritated, they get whatever. But you love them. Remind yourself of it, that this is a reality, and start thinking about the good things, the good memories, the smiles, the enjoyable things that have happened, and remembering that these good things can actually create a cycle of inspiration. All right, let's go to long-term inspiration again, back to that. The inspiration of character. What are some character things that we should work on that will help provide long-term inspiration for our students? One I'm going to write right at the beginning is humility. Now, we all know that humility is something to cultivate. And its presence is just a little bit nebulous. Like, is it here or isn't it? Well, we hate to say, yes, I'm very humble. that type of thing. But at the same time, we know we should be. So how can we get a hold of it? What are some ways that we can be humble and show our students that we're humble?
Isn't humility just an absence of thinking about self?
All good things come with a negative that it is not. I would like to think that the Spirit of Christ actually brings us something that is beyond just an absence of something bad. But it is the absence of pride too. But can we somehow bring into something that we can actually help cultivate humility rather than just saying, quit thinking about yourself, dummy. I'm already cycling that whole thing again. You know, I'm mad at myself for thinking about myself, which makes me think about myself a little bit more. Okay? All right? I've got to somehow turn that around by thinking about something good that will help inspire humility.
A focus on God is king and the world is
in that. Certainly. Very good. So a focus on God, a focus on his... What was your second thing you said?
And where I fit into that.
Where I fit into that. Very good. Yes.
Be as proud or enjoy other people's successes as much as your own.
four more.
Very good. Enjoy them. I've often told my students that it's the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote, rejoice with those who rejoice and
weep
with them that weep. And which one's easier? Weeping. When you see other people in pain, and like I said, you love them. Whether, again, the feelings run a little fuzzy sometimes, or we get irritated and all that, but we actually care, and it's actually relatively easy to weep together. Rejoice? I collect books. And I learned I actually collect some beautiful books, and I have some very nice books, actually. And I'm getting them, there's especially a couple people who have inspired me in this collection. And since we're all kind of cheapskates, we don't pay a lot of money for them if we can help it. So, in Grand Prairie, or the city where we go, which is 2 hours away, I like to tell people that we live a little bit further away from some things. There are a couple good thrift stores there, and I go to thrift stores. And there's a Duffy Village, and it has a very nice book section. And guess what? I go there and look at them. And I have found some pretty neat stuff at some of those thrift stores, and some of them that are worth quite a lot of money, or at least it would be if I actually bought them new. It is much more difficult for me to rejoice when somebody else shows me what they got there. Like, I missed it! All right, no, I work on that. So, rejoice with those that rejoice. Another part of aspect of this thing of cultivating humility is working on good sportsmanship. We already heard about that. But rejoice when the other side wins. You know, my first grade co-teacher, or it wasn't just first grade, but they would have their ball games, and then maybe you do this too, where how do they do it? So the sides have to congratulate each other, the losers and the winners. Guess which one? It's easy for. It's the winners. They are very good with their congrats. You guys tried hard. That was good, you know, and all this whole thing. Yeah, good trying. Well, thank you, whatever. All right. Actively learning to see the other person's experience and love that. That's good. Okay. We're going to have to keep moving on, but that humility thing is really important. One thing in the classroom, if you're a teacher, you probably have opinions. And you probably have opinions about things that don't matter a whole lot, but because you like to read or study or listen or think, or you have things about the world, and you just know things, right? And then you, in this argument, you can easily get trapped into this thing of arguing with your students or with other people. They're wrong, and I'm right, but they don't quite admit it, or amongst ourselves, that type of thing. Learning when humility can be this thing of just graciously stopping an argument. Just let it go, okay? And teachers can actually lead the way. We all see that with our students when they don't. Teachers can lead the way in something that they care about. All right, another one is honesty. Long-term honesty brings long-term inspiration. How does honesty help us? What are some ways that we are going to struggle with honesty as teachers? I'm not talking about cheating on a test, obviously, or the teacher. Admit that we're wrong to our students, and in my case, to my children. Okay? That type of thing. Be clear about that. Someone was saying something else.
I was going to say something very similar. If someone comes to us with a concern, be honest enough to look at, is the concern, is it real?
Listen to other people, listen honestly. Good. Self-evaluate honestly. Very good. Okay. I'll give you one. We already heard this morning about the importance of affirmation, of commending students, of letting them know when they're doing well and trying to be positive with them. All right? That's tremendously important. Okay? But we need to be honest about it. Right? Find ways that you can compliment people honestly. When they find out that you do not really mean what you're telling them when you give them a compliment, that robs the others of their positive power. Right? When they said, you know, you can't really trust that anymore. He's just wanting to make me feel good, or something like that. You have to find ways at the end. And here is one way. When you find an honest compliment and you pass that on, often something clicks and they recognize that, yeah, that is actually right. That is something to think about that I didn't, you know, and whatever. And they will soon read through that if you're not being, you know, you're just, you know, good job, Johnny, type of thing. And on we go from there. Be honest with that. Okay, I'll give you another one. Courage. A huge part of teaching long term is consistent courage. It takes, I've often said this, that students have no idea how much their opinion affects the teacher. I had not a clue until I actually started teaching myself that when these stony faces are looking back at you, that actually makes me feel something. I didn't think it made my teacher feel anything, and I gave her lots of stony looks. Okay. So it does. We're tremendously affected. So it takes courage, and to speak plainly about things that need to be corrected, that takes strength to get that out. You have somebody who is not singing on key. I had that problem. All right? There is only one way to really work with it. There are more than one way to work with it, but one thing you have to do in order to work with it is address it. And you can't really address it extremely vaguely. Let's put it that way. And so it can be difficult to address a specific issue and say, now we need to work on this. We can find it. I was talking to someone else about a student that I have who hates to be different, but he is different. We're all different one way or another, but this guy is especially different in many ways, and he just irritates him, and he has some learning disabilities along with it. And so so address that right up front. We have to take care of this. Reading is difficult for you. We are going to find a way to make it through, but we're going to have to address it. There's an interesting story. I listened to these great courses things, and there was a story on there about Charles Kimball. He was going to college, and he had a pretty tough professor, and this guy especially had this very academic stress on the concept of faith and belief in the ancient world. And so he'd take it apart, do all the different language studies and what it meant with these specific concrete cases. So he wrote a paper on faith as presented in the book of Hebrews, all right? And he said, the paper was, I don't know, relatively 15 pages, but double spaced and all that, so whatever. He gets 13 pages of single-spaced comments back. He said, it took me 20 minutes to actually look and see what grade I got from it, but that man was committed, and he was saying what, he was involved with saying what he thinks about these specific issues. Is this the first bell going? Okay, I'll give you another one. There are lots of them. Holistically cared. Involve yourself in your students outside of school. But here is another, what I think a very important one. I'm somehow getting H's. Humor. Learn to use humor well. Not to belittle people. Never belittle a child on purpose. I know we do it. I have done it without meaning to, and maybe in a moment of weakness or whatever, did it without realizing I was, or that kind of thing. But at least intentionally, make that commitment. You will not be a little child. But humor is very important. Humor is central to the concept of having a little bit of fun, and fun is a child word. They like it, so don't. It's very, very, very spiritual, guys. Okay. In this case, to make a long-term impact, you must have some kind of humor and fun. And I love the comment that humor is a way that you is a sword, a rubber sword that you can use to make a point without drawing blood. As a music teacher and a choir conductor and so on, I try to use it all the time, or you know, these flatting sopranos or that kind of thing. How do you work with a situation like that? Or step the run, don't slide over it, all that. Find humorous ways to illustrate that. Here's why humor is so important. Especially with children who have a tough time in school. You will struggle with children whose parents are not extremely supportive. That is not completely a fact, but it is a reality in many places and times. Some parents who just aren't supportive of this kind of thing. Eventually, face it, you can't change. You're not teaching the parents. And in fact, the parents are more accountable for the child than you are. You're teaching under the parent, not the other way around. So, work with it. But here's the thing. A child who had a teacher that made him laugh and worked at making school enjoyable will support his children's parent, his children's teacher. Get that? You're moving it one remove. Often parents who are not supportive did not have a good time in school. If your child can enjoy school where there's kind of some things going on, there's some happy things going on, they can be supportive in turn when their children are going to school. There are different modes of carrying inspiration into long-term. Is that the bell?
First bell.
Okay, so that's what goes. And not everybody is not every way is just as effective as anything else. Well, here's one of them. You need to pray for wisdom to know when you should learn from somebody else, be like that person, figure it out, and when you should be yourself. We cannot be anybody other than what we are, right? We can learn from them. So be yourself. You are in the classroom, not somebody else. That's critical for carrying on this to being effective and being an inspiration. Of course, seek inspiration yourself. We talked about that a little bit. Whatever else. One of the pieces of advice I give to students who are people who are thinking about going on the mission field is when you're there, this is for school teachers too, learn to do things that are not directly connected to your task that you enjoy, that are fun. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have fun things to look forward to next week or after school or something like that. Enjoy something fun. You can look forward to it, right? It's great, and somehow we have this vision of God as someone who robs us of all our pleasure. Someone has said that it's God gives pleasure and the devil corrupts it, so that's one way of doing it. Learn to enjoy life yourself, to effectively convey inspiration. And one more thing, really, really, really work hard at connecting well with your co-teachers and with your parents, but what I mean is your students' parents. Okay? That's huge. And especially when you get to my age, I'm older than some of my students' parents, and that's probably not true for most of you. But get to where they're actually friends. You're on the same page. You're working together. And when you come talk to them about an issue, it's never this kind of, you know, I've waited too long and now I'm upset. Mom's upset. Teacher's upset. My, here we go again. Okay? No. Where you can address it and you're looking for a solution, and they absolutely trust you that you want the best thing for their child, and, you know, something's not quite working, and what can we do about it together? All right? Focus on having good relationships with your students' parents and with your co-teachers. That's amazingly a huge part of inspiration within the classroom. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much.